Welcome back to EcoTalk. We are in conversation with the esteemed Tom Daschle, talking about an op-ed column he wrote in New York Times, published on May 8th, in which he calls for sort of a renewed focus and look into renewable energies, and saying that some of the answers to our many threats, be they environmental to geopolitical, is to really commercialize new fuel technologies in partnership with America's farmers. So we're going to begin there in this segment. And there is some controversy about, you know, the problems with, quote, commercializing, which has positive and negative impacts. I think the primary concern on the part of many environmentalists is just that supporting industrial farming practices that are harmful to human health and our environment is not necessarily the way to go. There's a lot of pollution involved and creation of greenhouse gases in our traditional agricultural process. By the way, not just specific to ethanol.
Well, I think that we're evolving, and we're not going to reach the perfect system for a long time to come. I just drove today a plug-in hybrid. As you know, a plug-in hybrid relies even more on the electrical power grid to generate its transportation energy, and I think that that also holds great promise. I can't imagine why the auto manufacturers haven't already begun marketing plug-in hybrids.
Now, was that Felix Kramer's CalCars plug-in hybrid,
yes.
Chris? Oh, he's going to be on our show next week.
So, is he really?
He is.
He's just terrific. And he's really devoted a great deal of time to perfect the technology. And we can do it without the involvement of auto manufacturers, but it just seems to make all the more sense for these manufacturers to do it rather than for us to have to custom make these plug-in hybrids after the car is built. So Felix does a fantastic job, and I actually had a chance to drive one today, and I think people would be very surprised at how smoothly these cars run.
And I got to drive that Prius as well. It says 99 miles per gallon on
the
odometer.
Now it's 100, so they've actually improved their fuel efficiency even more since she drove it.
Well, I think they couldn't get the 100 up there, but they must have done that just in time for their trip to Washington. So I'm glad he made it there. He was supposed to be on the show today, but he said he was hoping to get to D.C., so I'm glad he's connecting with the right people. What about, you know, looking at many alternatives, a combination of renewable sources, not just ethanol, including some solar energy infrastructure development?
Well, Felix was telling me that his thought was that he would put solar panels on his garage and actually use solar energy to run his car, but it would be solar energy collected during the day and then transmitted into the car that night during the night and ready to go the following morning. So as I said, this is really an exciting time for the energy field. My feeling is that energy, with all of its iterations and tremendous potential, could mean a bigger boom to the economy than all of technology in the 90s and early turn of the century that we've experienced already. I think there's so much potential there for economic growth and vitality. So we're only beginning to appreciate, and I'd say that we've not even gotten to the 1 or 2 percentage point in terms of that potential. But it's there, and we need to seize it, and everybody has a role to play, and that includes policymakers.
And in this op-ed piece, you point out something I was not aware of, that American automakers really have the edge when it comes to churning out flex-fuel vehicles more than our European counterparts. How did that happen?
Well, I think it happened in part because we have made it a bigger issue here than they have elsewhere. And I think that auto manufacturers in particular realize what a simple commitment it is in terms of the amount of money spent. It's less than $100, and these flexible fuel vehicles can really become a part of the solution. They may also feel that by committing to flexible fuel, they don't really need to go farther with hybrids or other things. That's a terribly short-sighted approach, and I hope that's not the case, because I think we need it all. We need flexible fuel, we need plug-in hybrids and hybrids of all kinds. We've got to meet this demand, and we've got to reduce our carbon, and the only way we're going to do it is to come up with vehicles that will accept the fact that carbon and oil are no longer going to be viable as we look to decades in the future.
Okay, let's move from non-petroleum sources of fuel to politics. Is there anyone you see on the horizon in the Democratic Party who might run in 2008 who really gets this or is getting up to speed on these very important energy issues? I mean, we really could go in any number of directions, and a couple of them could be fatal, and others could be quite revolutionary.
Well, I think it's probably too early to tell. What I am encouraged is the amount of debate and discussion that the Senate and House races are now devoting to this issue. They really seem to be appreciative of the fact that because of the cost of gasoline, perhaps more than anything else, they better have answers when they get in front of their constituents. And when they do, conversations turn very quickly to alternatives and what's going on and how can we address this problem from a simple financial point of view, much less our environmental issues. So that's encouraging, and I think if that's any indication, you're going to see a full-blown debate about this in 2008.
And since Al Gore and John Kerry were both pretty savvy on renewable sources of fuel and certainly global warming issues, but they didn't quite get that message across strongly enough, loudly enough, hopefully the next Democratic candidate will not make that mistake.
Let's hope.
Not water it down, because it's such
exactly.
an important message, and after all, that's one of the weaknesses of this administration, and that may be the understatement of the week. Well, we thank you so much for joining us, Senator Tom Daschle, the former Democratic Senate Majority Leader, also now a fellow at the Center for American Progress. In our last 30 seconds, what are you working on there?
Well, we're working on a couple of things, actually. We want to continue to do this. We have an opportunity at the center to move forward now with a whole new kick the oil habit. We've got a new website, and it's kicktheoilhabit.org. It's an opportunity to send a message to oil companies and Congress and to talk a lot more about E85, which we didn't get much of a chance to talk about today. There is a tremendous opportunity there, and this new website, kicktheoilhabit.org, is one that I would encourage all of our listeners to sign up at.
Great. Would you come back and talk about E85 another
time? I'd love to.
You've been a fabulous guest. Thanks so much. We'll be
Thank
right
you.
Back.